Hello and welcome to You Might Also Like, a podcast where you'll receive the movie suggestions you didn't know you needed. I'm your host, as always, Luke Spaulding. This week, you guys, when I took to Instagram and asked you guys what I should watch for this week, you voted and you said Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, the first movie in the franchise. And I decided that if you like that movie, then you might also like this movie with another damsel in distress, but in a very different way, because she is not a proper English woman who is the daughter of a governor in the 1700s getting kidnapped by pirates. She is a teenage girl in the 21st century who is getting kidnapped in Europe. That's right. I am talking about Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, and Taken. But let's start with Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. From here on out, too, I'm going to stop saying the whole title, because Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl is a mouthful to keep repeating. So I'm just going to say Pirates. Let's just call it Pirates. This movie was the start of an iconic series. It was the start of my sexual awakening with Orlando Bloom. It has a theme park ride. We're just going to graze past that middle part. It was nominated for 5 Oscars. Best makeup, best sound mixing, best lead actor for Johnny Depp, best visual sound editing. It's got a 79% on Rotten Tomatoes, an 8 out of 10 on IMDb. This movie, just aside from being the first in like a huge fan favorite movie series and a huge movie for Disney, it just it's become very engraved in culture. I mean, Jack Sparrow, played by Johnny Depp, is a very iconic character. People dress up as him for Halloween all the time. The Pirates of the Caribbean music is just like enough to get your adrenaline rushing. It just makes you so happy every time you hear that music, because you know you're watching a good action, PG action scene from this movie. We've got Keira Knightley playing Elizabeth Swan, who is the governor's daughter. The governor in this movie is played by Jonathan Pryce. These English people all came abroad from England to this island in the Caribbean, hence Pirates of the Caribbean. And, you know, the first scene of this movie is you get to see Keira Knightley as a young girl, and she gets, they find a little boy washed up in the sea, and it's Orlando Bloom as a kid, and he's the son of this super big pirate who all of the pirates on the Black Pearl know Orlando Bloom's dad. But that comes out later in the movie. But the significance of that scene was that Keira Knightley met Orlando Bloom then as a kid, and she's been in love with him ever since, really, and him, her. But of course, you know, Jonathan Pryce, the governor, her dad, has other plans for her, because Orlando Bloom is just, he's an old blacksmith who doesn't make a lot of money. So she wants him to be with the Commodore, who is played by this guy, Jack Davenport, which is funny because that's a guy I went to high school with. It's always weird when an actor is named literally first and last name is exact same as somebody you know. That's always so funny to me. But like, he's this annoying ass British dude with the traditional like barrister's white wig who wants Keira Knightley so bad. But then Orlando Bloom is this like rugged, long, natural hair, not the white wig, who doesn't have to vie for her attention as hard as the other dude does, because he's just like naturally hotter than the other guy and more of a gentleman, and Keira actually likes him better. Well, then after we're introduced to all of these characters, all of a sudden the pirates of the Black Pearl come and attack. The Black Pearl is this pirate ship that's led by their Captain Barbossa, who is played by Jeffrey Rush. I remember when I was a kid, too, and I would watch this movie, I would always get, because even when I was a kid, I cared a lot about pop culture, and I knew a decent amount about different celebrities, nothing compared to what I know now, but I remember never understanding how to pronounce Jeffrey Rush's name, because as a, like, 12-year-old or however old I was when this movie came out, seeing Jeffrey pronounced as G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y was so confusing to me. I was like, Geoffrey. Also, things that this movie made me feel different when I was a kid was, aside from feeling funny when I saw Orlando Bloom on the screen and not knowing why, you guys ever see those TikToks that it's like the beginning to Disturbia, that Rihanna song, and it's like, bum bum bee dum. And everyone's like, what's wrong with me? Why am I feeling like this when they're having like this like sexual awakening from some actor? That was me with Orlando Bloom, but I'm sorry. The scene when the pirates attack and they're all running around the island, attacking everybody and stealing from them like pirates do, and Keira Knightley's hiding in the closet, and those two creepy pirates are in the room searching for her, the one that has like the glass eye, and then the older dude who has no hair except on the back of his head. Those two always creeped me out, but they're like the idiots. And she's looking out that tiny slit in the window, or in the door crack, and all of a sudden his eye just pops in, and he's like, hello, Bobby. Oh, just like the way he said it and how his face pops up in that slit scared the shit out of me every time that I watched this movie as a kid. And then, of course, Keira Knightley comes in with her teeth acting and is like, I invoke the code of parley. Honestly, the best part of this movie was, for me, is Keira Knightley's mouth acting. Next time you watch a movie with her, pay attention to just her mouth, because she truly deserves an Oscar just for her mouth acting alone. That should be a category at the Oscars, best mouth acting. Keira Knightley would win every year. Also, a scene that used to scare the crap out of me was when Keira Knightley is kidnapped all of a sudden and she's on the Black Pearl, and then you realize that all of these pirates are dead. That's why it's called the Curse of the Black Pearl, because there is this curse that has literally made them all of these dead pirates, and they only, in the moonlight, that's when their true form is shown. So Keira Knightley's on the deck of this ship, and all of a sudden the moon is shining at night, and all of them are just skeletons. And when I was a kid, that scared the crap out of me. But then as an adult watching it and seeing Jeffrey Rush as a skeleton drink, like downing a bottle of red wine, and it just spills out of like his rib cage because he's just a skeleton, I'm like, that was funny. And I would be remiss to not mention that obviously Johnny Depp has done a lot of unforgivable things in his personal life with his ex Amber Heard and those allegations of abuse from her. You know, there's been a lot of things going on with him, if he's going to even go forward in the franchise with the reboots that they're making. But with all of that aside, as terrible as a guy as he might be outside of, or not as he might be, as he is outside of his acting career, Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow is iconic. He definitely deserved an Oscar nomination for this. It's such a great performance. It's so funny. It also kind of, as I watched this movie again for the first time in a while, I realized how like useless Jack Sparrow is. I mean, he's really only there for like comedic appeal. I mean, he has a few times where he kind of gets them out of sticky situations, but really it's only Orlando Bloom and the other crew of good pirates and Keira Knightley, even. Like, she has some scenes where she's fighting people. Johnny Depp is just always, he's just like goofy and wobbling around everywhere. He has that drunk walk that he always has. He really doesn't do much. I think that they could have gotten out of all of these situations without him just fine, but he is like, it is nice to have him in the movie because there are so many funny scenes that are just from him. Zoe Saldana is in this as part of that like good pirate crew that they get together to go and save Keira Knightley. I forgot she was in this movie. It's such a small role. And as I watched this movie again too, I realized how much I would hate to be a pirate. I mean, the pirates in this movie are so good. They're so stereotypical, perfect for like a Disney movie that kids are going to be watching, because they're like, oh, pirates, they loot, they steal actual gold and other goods, and they have the hats and the long hair, and they say aye, and like they do all of those things in this movie. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, I could never be that. It's my worst nightmare. I get so seasick. Some of the scenes where the ships are like going up and down on those waves, I was getting sick just watching it. And I don't like birds. I mean, I know they don't all have birds. One of them has a bird. The bad captain Jeffrey Rush has a monkey. I guess I wouldn't mind having a monkey as like my shoulder pet if I was a pirate. And I also have too much of a guilty conscience to ever like steal from other people and kill people, so there's that. If anything, watch it because it's a great start to the franchise. I think the second one's my favorite movie, but this one is really good. Keira Knightley, great damsel in distress. She's definitely compared to Maggie Grace and Taken, which I'm about to talk about, she's not as much of a damsel in distress as Maggie, because Maggie truly just relies on her father to save her, while Kira has, like, some of her own skills to bring to the table to get herself out of these sticky situations. But that brings me on to the second movie. If you like Pirates of the Caribbean, obviously they're telling you that you might also like any of the other sequels, which there's a lot. Wow, I didn't realize there was so many. But it's telling you might also like Hobbit, the Hobbit movies, or Harry Potter, or Avatar, or Guardians of the Galaxy. It's telling you Guardians of the Galaxy are almost like pirates, but in space. And these other movies are just kind of other big franchise movies that have huge fan bases. But I'm going to tell you that you might also like Taken, because we've got... Taken is a classic action movie that I had never seen until I watched it for this podcast episode. And it definitely... I'm going to be watching Taken 2 and Taken 3 sometime soon, because this is such a good movie. Like I said, it's a very different kind of damsel in distress, because Maggie Grace isn't a British woman from the 1700s getting abducted by pirates. She's a teenage girl who goes to Europe because she wants to follow around U2, and she ends up getting kidnapped and tried to put into a sex trafficking. She gets kidnapped in Europe for sex trafficking, and it's not 1700s, it's probably in early 2000s, but... This movie, it's got a 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb. It's got a 59% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is a little low, honestly. As much as people love this movie, and it doesn't even have... Usually on Rotten Tomatoes, they have like a critic consensus. It doesn't even have one, which I guess means not enough people have rated it. It just says 2008 mystery and thriller, and then it says the time, the duration of the movie. That's weird that it doesn't even have that. Honestly, this is a great movie. Liam Neeson, in the beginning you meet him, you feel bad for him. He's disconnected from his daughter, Maggie Grace. That's not her, that's her name in real life. Her name in this movie is, whatever, Kim. And he's disconnected from her because him and his wife, who in this movie is played by Famke Janssen. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Famke Janssen in the older X-Men movies plays Jean Grey before, in the newer ones when we have Sophie Turner playing Jean Grey. But she's the ex-wife in this movie, and Maggie Grace lives with her mom and her new stepdad and has like this luxurious life. You kind of feel bad for Liam. He's so out of touch with how she is now. She's turning 17 and he brings her like a karaoke machine as a gift, but she still kind of acts like a kid. Like, there are so many scenes where she's like, "Daddy," and she has this weird run that she does many times in the movie. She does it in the airport at one scene. I'm like, girl, you're literally 17 years old. It took heavy convincing to let your dad allow you to go to Europe alone with your 19-year-old friend, and you're still going to be like, "Thanks, Daddy," and like hug him and like run off like you're a 12-year-old through security at the airport. I'm like, you're really not helping your cause. But Liam Neeson, you know, in the beginning of the movie, he throws me off already because the guy at the karaoke machine store or whatever is like, "Oh, this is a good one. Like, Beyonce uses it or something." And he's like, "Who's Beyonce?" I'm just kidding. I'm like, but are you kidding? Like, does Liam Neeson know who Beyonce is? I don't know if he does. Also, in the beginning, he gets a job working for security with some of his friends for this pop star who's performing in town. And right as the pop star is about to go on stage, he's like, "Oh, hey, like, by the way, my daughter wants to be a singer. Got any tips?" And she's like, "Yeah, like, tell her to pick a new career." And also, she was literally about to run onto the stage and Liam stopped her to say that. I'm like, dude, know your time and place. He's just a little out of touch. But when it comes to knowing what to do during a kidnapping, he's amazing. After his daughter finally gets to go to France, and she even lied to Liam Neeson about it. She said she was just going to France, and he said, "Yeah, sure, you can go." After a lot of apprehension at first, he finds out she's actually going to follow U2 around, which is crazy because as childlike as Maggie Grace acts in this, also just even if she wasn't childlike, I'm like, what 17-year-old wants to follow U2 on a world tour? I don't really picture U2 as a band that a lot of teenagers like, but I don't know. But she's going and following them around, and like literally immediately when she gets there, Liam's all worried and he's like, hey, I said to call you, call me when you first landed. And she finally called him when she got to like their house they were staying in. And while she's on the phone with her dad, she sees her friend, who is played by Katie Cassidy in this movie. They get kidnapped because of this girl. She's so stupid in this movie. They get, the second they step out of Charles de Gaulle Airport, this guy's like, hey, are you American? Like, you guys want to share a cab? Like, right off the bat. And she's like, yeah, sure. And then he drops them off and he's like, let's go to a party tonight. And she's like, yeah, sure. And Maggie at least has some senses. She's like, Amanda, like, we don't even know this guy. And she's like, what? Like, he's French. Like, they're hot. La la. I'm like, if it wasn't for her, they probably would have never got kidnapped. But they come and kidnap, they come and start to kidnap them while Maggie Grace is on the phone, like looking across this terrace from one room into the room that her friend is in. And she's on the phone with her dad, like, oh my God, they're kidnapping Amanda. And her, Liam Neeson ultimately is like, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go into the next room and you're going to hide under the bed. And honey, like, they're going to kidnap you. He just straight up tells her, he's like, you're going to get kidnapped. And this is what you're going to do when you get kidnapped. You're going to leave the phone on and you're going to yell descriptive features about them so that I can, like, find them. And she's like, okay. And he's very calm the whole situation, knowing that his daughter is about to literally get kidnapped. And then she does. They drag her feet from outside of the bed like a typical scary movie, and it's not funny. It's really smart when you think about it, because it's like, you would never, unless you are an experienced CIA operative like Liam Neeson, you would never think to do something like this when you're actually in that moment. So the fact that Liam Neeson was able to tell his daughter to do that is quite amazing. But like having her scream like, ah, beard, 6 feet, moon tattoo, it's kind of funny, but it was smart. And then, of course, right after that, Liam Neeson has the iconic line that he says to this guy, because he picks up the phone after he takes his daughter.
But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
And then from that point, he uses his very specific set of skills to just hunt down these men who took his daughter. And he does a very good job at it. He's on like the next plane to Paris, and he's does everything so precisely and so smartly. He knows, I mean, he does it, and he knows he has a 96-hour window, so he's willing to do anything, including shooting an innocent woman, which I wasn't okay with. I mean, he killed a lot of people in this movie. Most of them were the bad guys. Most of them were the bad guys in this movie were from Albania, I think. And he killed them, and they were sex traffickers, so yeah, that's valid. But this guy that used to be his friend, who's like a French CIA guy, he wants to get information, like really good intel from his friend, and his friend like doesn't want to give it to him, so he shoots his wife like in the foot and is like, if you don't give me the information, the next one's going in her head. I'm like, I get that you want to save your daughter, but does it have to come at the cost of shooting an innocent woman? I mean, I don't want to say, is Maggie Grace worth that? Because you can't put a price tag or a worth on someone's life, but is one person's life worth another person's life like that, especially if it's an innocent woman like that? I don't agree with him doing that, but he was going to do anything he had to do to get his daughter in this movie. Both of these movies, I mean, like I said, Maggie Grace, great damsel in distress. She's like a classic damsel in distress. When you think about movie damsels, she is like number one on the list. I mean, like, I should give her some credit, because I talked about how Keira Knightley is much of a, she kind of fends for herself better than Maggie does. But in Maggie's defense, she's taken by sex traffickers and they literally like drug her so that she acts like slower, and then they try to auction her off since she's a virgin. I mean, she really doesn't have the opportunity to fight back that much, or, and we don't really even see her side of the story. it just goes from her getting kidnapped, Liam Neeson's scenes, and then seeing Maggie again at the end. So we really don't even get to see. Maybe that would be a good spinoff Taken movie, is just seeing the what happened with just her. With that being said, though, you guys, go and watch both of these movies. Pirates is on not Netflix, it's on Disney Plus. Taken, I had to rent it, but you know what? This is a great movie. It's worth the rent. It's worth the buy if you want to buy the DVD even. But with that being said, you guys, rate and review me on Apple Podcast. You can find me on social media at You Might Also Like Pod, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. On Twitter, it's might_also. Until next time, goodbye.